The overall size of the federal workforce is shrinking. Different sources show different numbers, but they're all headed down. The raw number of civilian employees did grow a little between 2004 and 2012, but 94% of that growth was at three agencies. Bob Tobias is director of key executive leadership programs at American University, and he says agency managers are starting to drop the do more with less mentality. And Bob, I have to say, this is something I've been talking about on this program for a while. This is not a moment too soon in my book, because I think this, it seems like this came from Congress. And it seems like a concept that just asking people to fool themselves. Did I miss something somewhere?
Well, for me, Francis, with decreasing budgets and decreasing employees, number of employees, last year, year over year, May to May, down 63,000 federal employees, I think we're coming to a time when agencies cannot do more with less. They can't stretch themselves. The business processes have been looked at, efficiencies have been looked at. Now the time is, I can't stretch these people more, what can I cut? And a real example of that, I think, is the Internal Revenue Service, which is saying that because they're operating at 2010 levels and off 10,000 employees, we're going to answer 12 million fewer calls from taxpayers next year. Now, that's significant.
The idea of doing less with less is something that it's hard for people to get their arms around, and I don't understand why. Because if you have less money and you have fewer employees, I mean, I'm not a math wizard, but that seems to add up to less work accomplished.
Well, you know, there are 535 members of Congress, the board of directors for the executive branch, and the assumption seems to be we can cut budgets, and somehow the fact is that the agencies are underperforming, and by cutting their budgets, they'll continue to perform at this level. That assumption is incorrect.
What do you think it will take to change that mentality among the board of directors?
I think the executive branch departments have to be very clear in what they can do and what they can't do. And so far, very few of them have had that courage, but I think the commissioner of IRS is setting the standard here by saying, I'm going to do what is required by statute, but the other stuff I'm going to cut because I don't have funding. Now, if you want to give me the funding, I'll be happy to perform, but I don't have the funding, I won't perform.
I find John Koskinen an interesting case. And full disclosure, I know John and have talked to him on a number of occasions about what he's dealing with at the Internal Revenue Service. And to his credit, he is somebody who didn't need that job. He can afford to do that because he is not thinking about what his next job is. His next job is likely to be retirement, which he's earned. Not everybody that's a leader in Washington, either a political leader or a career leader, is in the same situation, Bob. And so the courage that you're asking for, I mean, you attach the right word to it. I mean, it will take a tremendous amount of courage for people to say, effective today, we're not required to do this, so we're going to stop doing it.
That's true. And correspondingly, it would take some courage by the 535 members of the board of directors to say, okay, we don't have the funds to do this. We're going to cut this program or that program or some other program. So far, I've not heard any discussion like that.
Well, from a political perspective, too, that's something that I talked about when we got into the whole sequestration thing. You and I may have even discussed this. I thought that it would have been a wise move for the administration to take their list of priorities to cut to Congress and say, you're giving us less money, you want us to have fewer employees, this is the result. These are the things that we're going to cut. Now you, Congress, tell us why we're wrong. Tell us why you want the government to remain bigger, because most of this pushback is coming from quite frankly, from the Republican caucus in the House, which is saying, we want smaller government, we want fewer government employees. Okay, if that's what you want, and that's what the budget is going to look like, here's the reality of what that picture looks like. But we didn't see that from the administration either, really.
We did not. And unfortunately, or fortunately, as the case may be, depending on your perspective, because of leftover funds, because of something decaying like IT infrastructure that isn't replenished over time. You don't spend the money on that. You delay the spending. The consequences are increased probability of breaches of security, and you don't tell Congress that that's the risk. It's going to happen. So the Obama administration did not make clear what the risks were. People continued to deliver services at the expense of future risks. And I think both the administration and Congress have to come to terms with what does it mean to cut these budgets? And as I say, Koskinen is setting the standard.
Where will you see signs of hope that other people are picking up on what he's doing?
I hear it now in conversations, Francis. I don't hear anybody. I mean, I hear a lot of conversations. This is what we ought to do. This is what we should do. And my hope is there will be some will do.
But where, I'm not asking specific agencies, but will we see this at very low levels within agencies? Will we see it somewhere in the middle ranks? Will we see, do you think, another cabinet level or administrator level or commissioner level like Koskinen say this is how we're going to do it? Or I'm just trying to get a sense of where this might break from.
I think it has to come at an agency and or a departmental level. I mean, somebody from the Park Service says we can't provide enough cops because there's not enough overtime. We're going to close them. If you can't pay to keep them open, have appropriate security, we're going to close them. You could see it in a place like Customs and Border Protection. We don't have enough money to do overtime, and therefore people are going to spend more time crossing the border. Now, those are hypotheticals. I'm not saying that. But that's the kind of thing that is very dollar sensitive. And if an agency stepped up and said, these are the consequences of cutting.
And they're dollar sensitive, that's true. They're also very high profile cuts along the lines of what Mike Causey always calls Washington Monument cuts.
Of course.
And they're politically the kind of thing that would be stand up and take notice cuts, where somebody would say, well, you can't do that. You can't do that. And okay, so if we can't do that one, then what do we do? And that's the kind of dialogue it sounds like you expect to see generated.
I'm hoping, because as I say, Koskinen is setting the standard by being totally transparent about where the money is being allocated and how much money is being allocated. No one has said so far, John, this is the Washington Monument syndrome. They've said they've accepted his numbers that there will be 12 million fewer calls answered next year.
Unfortunately, they've accepted it to the point of almost shrugging their shoulders and saying, okay.
Well, he's won. And maybe that will be when taxpayers are calling members of Congress, Koskinen is going to be insulated.
He gave them fair warning about what they were going to get.
Exactly.